Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mohamed Balevich, and I'm a myeloma physician at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And today it will be my pleasure to talk briefly on the topic of management of newly diagnosed transplant-eligible multiple myeloma patients. These are my disclosures for today's talk. Today's learning objectives will span optimal therapeutic regimens based on scientific patient and disease-related characteristics, and review of current guidelines and evolving data from the trials evaluating novel multi-drug combinations in the frontline setting, as well as briefly touching and identifying on the management of treatment emergent adverse events that are associated with the variety of different treatment approaches in the frontline setting for transplant-eligible myeloma patients. This is just a brief schematic to briefly go over the treatment paradigm for newly diagnosed myeloma patients who may be eligible for transplant. In general, induction period is limited, as well as the intensification slash consolidation period, which usually involves autologous stem cell transplantation, which is usually then followed by maintenance period, which on the North American side is more prolonged and tends to be indefinite, assuming that no toxicities and unacceptable side effects occur during the maintenance phase. Tumor burden certainly is expected to decrease as we make progression from these different phases all the way towards the maintenance phase. Very often we do consider things like what type of risk patient has at diagnosis, what type of baseline organ functions they may have, what type of biologic characteristics patients may have, do they have any baseline neuropathy, do they have baseline cardiac, pulmonary, or kidney disorders or ailments that may impact how we decide what type of therapy to choose from. Throughout this entire period, of course, multidisciplinary supportive care is always provided to patients with respect to all these different areas that can optimize the experience and success of the induction therapy in general. So this is a list of NCCN regimens for transplant-eligible newly diagnosed multiple myeloma patients. Of note, we have to mention VRD or bortezomib, lenalidomide, and dexamethasone, which carries category one recommendation, and we will in the coming slides cover the data that has established its category one recommendation. Bortezomib, cyclophosphamide, and dexamethasone, or otherwise known as CyBorD, is also an important regimen that is considered for patients who present with significant renal failure or baseline renal insufficiency that would otherwise preclude meaningful doses of immunomodulatory drugs during induction. Regimen of note as well in the other recommended regimens includes KRD, as well as the quadruplet daratumumab VRD. The data for all of these we will cover in the coming slides. And lastly, of note is also a category one recommendation in regimens that are useful in certain circumstances, such as VTD or bortezomib, thalidomide, and dexamethasone. However, this regimen is really more developed and optimized and has been studied in the European practice patterns and is not something that we commonly use on the North American side, where we prefer the use of lenalidomide or Revlimid as an immunomodulatory drug of choice in triplet or quadruplet combination regimens for newly diagnosed transplant-eligible patients. In terms of current induction options for transplant-eligible newly diagnosed myeloma patients, this is sort of the general paradigm that can be considered when one is evaluating newly diagnosed patients and how to approach them and what type of therapy choices to consider. Newly diagnosed patients with respect to transplant are usually the one with adequate baseline performance status as well as organ functions, including adequate cardiac as well as pulmonary reserves, which are particularly important in order to minimize transplant-related adverse events. Having an impaired kidney function is a common feature in myeloma patients, and being on dialysis is not a preclusion factor, though, of course, is something that does contribute towards potential complication rate. Whether we're looking at the standard risk or high risk patients, and this is usually determined based on either revised ISS staging system that has been updated from the ISS staging system some years ago, and it routinely actually considers cytogenetic and FISH, primarily actually FISH features. What I would add there is that consideration should also be made for other forms of higher subgroups, such as those with 1Q amplification, patients with extramedullary multiple myeloma, patients with very aggressive forms of plasma cell dyscrasia, such as plasma cell leukemia, et cetera. These are all additional characteristics that help us identify those that harbor diseases with particularly aggressive features. So on this side, you can notice that Velcade, Revlimid, and dexamethasone for four cycles, as we mentioned, is a standard of care option, but as well as Kyprolis, Revlimid, and dexamethasone. We will later on touch a little bit about what could help us differentiate between what to use. Certainly, many academic centers at this point in time do even prefer to provide KRD to all comers, not just for the high-risk patients, as we are outlining here. Potential quads or quadruplet regimens that may include the addition of daratumumab to VARD backbone is certainly consideration at this point in time. We will cover a little bit of data in this area. Melphalan conditioning is standard. It is something that is given and adjusted based on creatinine clearance and occasionally age as well as comorbidities. Following the transplant is a period of risk-adapted consolidation treatment for high-risk patients in particular. Is an area where we consider adding immunomodulatory drugs to proteasome inhibitors and glucocorticoids for a prolonged period, followed by single agent maintenance therapy, usually with IMIDs, which is then continued long-term, assuming that there's no disease progression, that there's no unacceptable toxicities, and that there are no, importantly also to note, financial toxicities for the patients throughout the treatment times. SWOG S0777 study was a randomized phase 3 trial of VRD versus Revlimid dexamethasone. This was a trial that accrued all comers, newly diagnosed patients that were not necessarily eligible for transplantation, but as well as those who were eligible for upfront early transplantation, but were willing to have a consideration for delayed transplant. It randomized between R-Dex or Revlimid Dex versus a triplet bortezomib Revlimid Dex, which was then followed by RD maintenance until progression or unacceptable adverse events or withdrawal of consent. All patients were prophylaxed with full dose aspirin for VTE, and the primary endpoint was PFS in this trial. What this trial showed is significant PFS as well as OS benefit of triplet versus doublet combination. You can see clearly here a significant hazard ratios in terms of reduction for PFS as well as OS. In addition to these benefits, triplet VRD in fact led to doubling of the CR rates and 50% improvements in the VGPR rates in terms of response depths. This is clearly something of importance to us as we consider the long-term outcomes and the long-term predictors of good response and durable response in newly diagnosed multiple myeloma patients. This table here briefly summarizes some of the phase 2 KRD-based trials in newly diagnosed myeloma. As you can see, these were with a slightly lower numbers of patients, but the main feature that we can notice here is really high quality responses and high quality progression-free survivals at the time points of evaluation. You can see that the depths of response in terms of VGPR and the CR or stringent or near CR rates were fairly high. And this is where the interest initially came from, considering KRD, in fact, for all comers. The last study on the bottom is not actually KRD triplet, but is in fact response-adapted MRD-based study that looked at adding daratumumab to KRD. So this is a quadruplet, similar to DARA-VRD, what we saw before. However, in this design, As we said, this was response-adapted MRD based after the transplantation portion and after the induction, as well as the post-transplant and after the MRD-directed approach. Really high rates of stringent CR and MRD negativity were noted. And what's important is as we progress from induction to transplant to subsequent therapy post-transplant, MRD negativity rates, as you can see in this case, to the 10 to the minus 5 increased significantly to very high degrees. What needs to be mentioned is that the grade 3 and 4 adverse events were very common in terms of hematologic signals, thrombocytopenias, lymphopenias, neutropenias were commonly noted, lymphopenias, etc., as well as some electrolyte changes. So one really needs to keep in mind these types of events as they continue treating their patients and monitoring them closely for any complications from hematology adverse events. Griffin was a phase 2 study that looked at adding daratumumab to Revlimid, Velcade, and dexamethasone in patients that were transplant eligible, newly diagnosed, with good performance status. The design is as outlined here, induction for 4 cycles, followed by transplant, followed by consolidation for further cycles, and then maintenance therapy, which was either Revlimid single agent in the triplet or daratumumab added to Revlimid in the quad arm, the primary endpoint. Involving dose-limiting toxicities, as well as the MRD negativity and the depth of response as a secondary endpoint. What was clear from the updated analysis of Griffin after 12 months of maintenance is that at almost every point of analysis, the CR or better responses were much better and deeper for the quadruplet arm versus the triplet arm. You can see the CR rates of 80 to nearly percent versus 60%. And as we mentioned, as the treatment progressed from the end of consolidation to the end of maintenance, you can see that the depth of MRD response increased as well. On the other hand, what we could not appreciate was significant changes in the 12 and 24 month PFS and OS rates, as these curves were fairly superimposable, which is why the Perseus phase 3 trial is currently undergoing. This is going to be a phase trial that's going to have a PFS as a primary endpoint and as a secondary endpoint, MRD negativity to the minus 5 by NGS after consolidation. And we hope that with phase 3 trial here, as outlined, we will have an answer of whether quadruplet that involves the addition of anti-CD38 therapy can in fact lead to prolongation of progression-free survival in newly diagnosed transplant-eligible patients. Cassiopeia was also a phase 3 study design, which involved the utilization of thalidomide as a choice of immunomodulatory drug. So instead of having daratumumab VRD, we had daratumumab Velcade, thalidomide, and dexamethasone versus Velcade, thalidomide, and dexamethasone. Of note here, what needs to be pointed out is that the maintenance design of this trial was such that the quadruplet arm had the daratumumab monotherapy until disease progression, while the triplet arm had observation until disease progression, 2 years maximum for both sides. So significant difference in terms of how the therapy was actually designed for patients following the induction, following the transplantation, and following the consolidation periods. What the Cassiopeia showed was a significant increase and betterment in terms of progression-free survival, 53% reduction in the risk of progression or death in the DARA VTD arm with a median follow-up of nearly 19 months. Survival was not reached in either arm at the time of this analysis, and was immature for reporting at this meeting follow-up, but certainly this was a significant improvement in terms of progression-free survival for this particular quadruplet versus Velcade, thalidomide, and dexamethasone. There's also an example of some other novel quads, so-called quads, quadruplets in the high-risk newly diagnosed myeloma patients. This is namely an example of isatuximab, Kyprolis, Revlimid, and Dexamethasone. This was a study that was just presented in an abstract form at ASCO just this past year with 50 patients. And as you can see here, fairly deep responses, overall response rate of 100%, where the overall response was defined as at least being a PR. VGPR rates were very high, 90%, CR, stringent CR rates, 46%, so really deep responses in this setting. So beyond the data that we have seen for VRD combined with Dara or KRD combined with Dara, we are also seeing some of these more innovative designs for the quadruplets in the newly diagnosed patients. So Endurance was a phase 3 VRD versus KRD trial in newly diagnosed multiple myeloma. This trial accrued patients with a good baseline performance status of ECOG 0 and 2. It did not allow accrual of high-risk features. Of note, however, patients with translocation 414 were allowed to accrue. Plasma cell leukemia patients were excluded, as well as anybody with baseline peripheral neuropathy of grade 2 or higher, as well as patients who had congestive heart failure or who may have had ACS or MI in the preceding 6 months. Induction was given either as VRD in 12 3-weekly cycles or KRD in 9 4-weekly cycles. Subsequent to that, there was a stratification by induction regimen followed by maintenance that was lenalidomide-based in both groups, and patients were observed until disease progression. Primary endpoint for this trial was PFS after induction, as well as OS with maintenance, with secondary endpoints including overall response rate, MRD, TTP, OS, as well as safety, as well as quality of life assessed metrics during and after induction. So it must be noted that when considering either VRD or KRD as initial choice of regimen for newly diagnosed transplant eligible patients, at least one can and should keep in mind a baseline comorbidities and probably try to avoid bortezomib-based treatments in patients who harbor significant baseline neuropathy, or KRD, avoidance in patients with significant cardiopulmonary / renal comorbidities. Some of the comments, for the end here that we can keep in mind, when it comes to induction, VRD certainly remains current standard of care, while KRD can be considered if baseline peripheral neuropathy is present while, having no presence of cardiopulmonary and renal issues that would be prohibitory. Cyclophosphamide, bortezomib, and dexamethasone, or so-called Cyborg D, can be considered certainly as a standard in patients who present with acute kidney injury or with significant baseline chronic kidney disease that would otherwise predict for really low doses of lenalidomide, with the plan to try to swap Cytoxan for lenalidomide when feasible with the improvement of creatinine clearance. Quadruplets such as daratumumab VRD or daratumumab KRD, and as we noted, isatuximab KRD, certainly seem very attractive. They are some of them in the late phases of studies, and we may potentially very well come to the point where they may be considered standard. Dara-VTD, as we showed from Cassiopeia study, is indeed standard in Europe, but not common in North American practice. Consolidation with autologous stem cell transplantation is certainly standard at present, but the question remains whether employment of CAR T-cell therapies may impact utilization of autologous transplant in newly diagnosed myeloma. And for those patients that are of high-risk disease, certainly we consider it standard of care to do combined consolidation / maintenance with IMiDs and PIs to try to offset the expected earlier relapses that can be seen with high-risk patients. When it comes to maintenance, Revlimid or lenalidomide is Category 1 due to survival benefit, while ixazomib is an excellent Category 1 substitute if patients are unable to tolerate the Revlimid. There are a number of studies with innovative approaches that are looking at MRD-adapted treatments with dual maintenance with daratumumab and lenalidomide, and certainly up-and-coming designs which will explore the role of CAR T cells, as well as bispecific T cell engager therapies or dual targeting antibodies or latest generation CLEMODs in terms of their benefit on maintenance and the depth of response that can be seen in those cases. And the final note for future is that other quadruplets are certainly being developed, as we noted. And a question really is and remains whether the quadruplet therapies that involve CD38 targeting therapies should be considered for all comers versus maybe preferably for high-risk patients in a response-adapted risk stratification. You know, it remains to be seen in the trials that we will have data on in the near future. Lastly, given the improvements in the way we have been able to deliver in terms of safety, some of the quadruplet therapies question can be raised whether even penta or therapies with five different agents that could also be targeting molecularly present lesions in myeloma cells could be considered for more upfront therapy and exposure to drugs that could hopefully lead to a subsequent less amount of therapy in terms of long-term follow-ups and exposures for patients. With that, this will bring the closing remarks to the end. Thank you very much for your participation today.